Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up October 14th through the 16th in Texas. So call us today at 210-822-8201 or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's great to have you with us. My name is Jonathan Doherty, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. Steven, how are you today?
I am doing well. I'm excited. It's been a while since we were in the studio recording, so I'm excited.
Well, and I need to let the listeners know, because you can't see Steven right now, but he has this slick white shirt and tie on, so he must be doing something important today after our radio programs. But anyway, we're grateful that you're with us. We have been really, it's really been neat to see that, you know, we've been doing this radio program for over 10 years, which is pretty wild to think about. We have over 500 archived broadcasts that are free for you to listen to and download and share with anyone. We have listeners in over 80 countries around the world. It's just really neat to see how God has been using this program to try to encourage men and couples and just anyone who is dealing with sexual brokenness issues to be able to walk in purity and integrity. And so this week, Stephen, I'm really excited about the topic we're going to be talking about, because I think it's something that doesn't really get addressed that much, especially in the realm of when you're thinking about addiction recovery or just the journey of moving towards greater integrity. So why don't you tell our listeners what we're going to be diving into?
Well, I had an opportunity to talk to a brother, and he was so excited, and he was just going on and on about this excitement and this new energy, and it's like he'd had a new discovery, and he wanted to share it with me, and I thought, what are you talking about? And he said, I'm enjoying sobriety. And I thought, wow, I love that. Enjoying sobriety, because often when you think about sobriety, what comes to mind?
You think about hard work of like resisting temptation and dealing with broken relationships and deception. I mean, just it's hard work.
And telling yourself, no, you can't. No, no, bad, wrong, no. It's a real negative sort of thing. But he was so excited. He'd been to sort of a retreat, and he said, I really did a little bit of praise and worship at that retreat. And this thought came to me, you're free. You're free. And it's like, you don't have to fight anymore. You don't have to try to be something or hide from being something. You're free. You don't have to run and hide. You don't have to put on your smiley face and pretend. You're free inside. And that just gave him such joy.
And what I love about that is he might not have thought of this when he said that, but That's present tense.
That's good.
Not you will be free. It's like you are free.
Yes.
I am free right now, you know, and that's so there's a in the present aspect to that freedom. And I think that's maybe where that joy broke through is, hey, you know what? I'm in it right now.
You know, I have to tell you about a little thing that bugs me, you know. We'll be at like a men's retreat and guys will pray like this. Well, God is going to, and one day God is going to give you, and someday, you know, it's like, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit's here. We're the church. What mm-hmm. are you talking about? What are you saying? And the way we should pray is today and now and here, right?
Yeah, I think there is I think our natural inclination is to say that hope is in the future.
Yes.
But if you understand exactly what you're talking about right here is hope is now.
That's it.
In Christ, hope is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what this guy was beginning to understand is, you know what? Now, obviously, he's progressed in this journey or he's had some breakthroughs, but he was discovering something that was profound to him. And I think it's profound to anybody who will open themselves up to the journey of pursuing sobriety and pursuing integrity is, wow, I'm experiencing it now. I'm experiencing freedom right now.
Yeah, that's it. I am free now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the excitement, right? Not, I got to figure out in my head how to get there or give myself a pep talk or just don't look at the ugly stuff. Don't look back. Don't look sideways or don't listen to other people. But just to be free, it's so restful.
Let me ask you a question because this is where I think a lot of people get confused. They're saying, well, wait a second. You're saying this guy is saying he's free right now. Are you telling me that this guy's perfect?
No, like he's not perfect. He's not cured. He's not 100%, you know, never to fail again. He's just resting in a moment where he can just be what he was made to be, free of sin, free of wrong, free of bad, free of broken, just resting with his Father. You know, it's almost like sitting in the Father's lap saying, he's saying, it's going to be okay. You're my boy, and it's going to be okay. And it's like, whew.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if some of our listeners might even be confused with us using a term like sobriety. They might be saying, enjoying sobriety, what does that even mean to be sober? Because I think some people, not everybody is familiar with either recovery language or, you know, the addiction community language. And honestly, I think sobriety is a much broader term than just addiction and recovery. So can you maybe help us understand what you think about when you think about the term sobriety?
Well, and let me just say, I think this has application across the board.
Yes.
Whether you're talking about sobriety or you're talking about recovery or doing addiction work, right?
Or even just pursuing purity. You don't necessarily have to be addicted.
So go ahead, make your point there. What do you
That's why I believe that the term sobriety is bigger than recovery or addiction.
Okay.
But I want to hear what you have to
say
about sobriety.
No, that's good. You're doing good. Because I have another thought, but go ahead. What was your thought? You just keep explaining that.
I think sobriety has to do with you are walking in cleanness or in purity. You're walking in this freedom that we're talking about. Meaning, to me, sobriety has the idea that I'm unbound by the things that could destroy or diminish my health or my life. I'm not bound by those things anymore.
Yeah, that's it. I'm free. I'm not bound. That's good. Because, and the whole point is, doesn't it sound restful and mm-hmm. peaceful? I've been thinking, it's like there's a couple of things we want in this life. We want to be restful on the inside, you know? And we want to be loved well on the outside. There's mm-hmm. two biggies. And I mean, that applies to being loved by God. I'm talking about love and by other people and to be at peace. I mean, it's like I'm coming down to those are the two big things in life. Be loved well, be connected well, enjoy oneness well, and then rest well.
Mm.
And so this is part of him finding that rest process because he said, all my life I felt lonely. I felt unloved and I felt unworthy.
Mm.
So think about, I am free and at rest and loved versus I'm lonely. I'm unloved. Nobody wants me.
Mm. Yeah, because when you say that, I'm thinking, you know what he experienced then in his recognition of freedom was more than some sort of philosophical or spiritual thing. He was starting to recognize what he was even being set free from in his emotional self, that he's not, because I think part of what sin does, what, you know, pornography, what any kind of addictive pattern can do is it disconnects us from exactly what you're talking about that peace and being connected and feeling loved and in relationship. And so I think his discovery of the freedom that he has is, this is different from where I've come from. This is different from me feeling alone and feeling unloved. It's freedom does not have with it that idea of loneliness and feeling unloved. So there's something happening in his emotional self.
Yes.
Not just some spiritual idea of freedom.
And, you know, we know this, that people, when they don't feel love, they go get pseudo love, right? Mm-hmm. They'll create fantasy love. And that's what's happened with most of these people. They wanted to be loved better. They didn't get loved well, so they went to find pseudo love. So anyway, I started by saying he was at some kind of retreat, a men's retreat. And he said he was just, they were just worshiping. And for 30 minutes, he said, I don't know if he did this the whole time, but he kept repeating this word, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I give up, I don't want to fight anymore, I quit, I surrender. And that statement seemed to really help him get to the place of freedom and rest.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, that's a hard place for a lot of men to get to.
Mm.
You know, I've had many men over the years, whenever I've used that term surrender, either in a talk or in a group or whatever, I've seen many men physically tense up, because that is a term that men just don't like to embrace.
Oh, that's good.
Surrender, isn't that like somebody putting a gun in my face and I'm putting my hands up?
Or quitting or giving up.
Yeah, and it feels very weak. It feels very powerless. It feels very anti-man, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but what you're saying is this guy began to see something in his spirit and in his heart that when there was a sense of letting go, a sense of stopping trying to control and hold everything together and opening himself up to that idea of, I'm not going to hold on anymore. I'm not going to cling anymore. There was a connection to freedom. There was a connection to, it's counterintuitive, I think, for us as men.
Yes.
We think, no. The way I get to a place of freedom is I earn it. I conquer it.
I grab it. I take it.
So surrender doesn't seem right a lot of times to the way we think as men, especially.
Yeah, like the ways of gods are sort of opposite the ways of men.
Exactly.
So he said, I realize all my life that I've wanted affection. I wanted attention and affection. I want to be loved. But I never found that. I never got much of that growing up. And so even now, there's a temptation to come to want to play with fantasy where you're loved. But he said, what I do now is I just start to sing a song and enter a moment of worship, and it sort of regrounds me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that he connects his desire for affection with worship. And the reason I think that's interesting is, you know, if you read through the Psalms, they're very emotional. They're songs, you know, and we know that songs stir emotion. I mean, it's one of the reasons that, you know, music companies do what they do and the way they write music and the notes they use and the lyrics they use, because they know it moves people. It's one of the reasons why music is almost synonymous with marketing. you don't find marketing that doesn't have some kind of lyric or some kind of tune or something like that.
Because it relaxes, pulls you in. Is that what you're saying?
And there's an emotional response that occurs. So the fact that he was realizing, you know what, I've always wanted affection. And of course, it's certainly, we know why then a person gets attached to pornography if they've got a desire for affection and it's not being met in a healthy way in relationships.
Right.
Man, porn really speaks to that. But the fact that he's connected that to worship and says, I can go into music, I can go into a place of surrender again in worship that I can feel that. I can feel that from God. I can have that connection.
Yes.
Is really huge, I think, that he's made that.
Well, connection. You know, what you just said is very profound. Pornography really speaks to that. What's your need? You don't feel loved? Pornography really speaks to that. Mm-hmm. You want affection? Pornography. You feel worthless? Pornography speaks to that. You don't feel loved? Pornography speaks to that. You don't feel like you're making a difference? Well, pornography will speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really powerful.
Well, and it's the... you know, and that is true. But then we also know that then pornography, you know, is shallow. It's
not real.
It eventually doesn't satisfy. It's kind of like the person stranded on a lifeboat out in the ocean, and they're dying of thirst, and they think there's water all around. They just start drinking the water that's killing them, you know, because if they drink that salt water, they're going to die.
Mm. So he says, I know I have to reach out in group and connect with brothers. I need men in my life. It makes all the difference when you're talking to men. And, you know, we've said this before, men need men. Mm-hmm. Men need men in their lives. It's nice to have a female in your life, a wife, a kid, daughters, that's great. But men need men to make themselves better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's another one of those areas. You know, I tie this back into the surrender piece, because, you know, in order to really connect with other men, you have to give up your sense of either knowing it all or having control. Or in order to have true brotherhood, there's a real give and take there. There's a real, you got to open yourself up to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to let you in on a secret. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's hard for men to admit, but you're never going to connect really well with other men on this issue if you don't admit that.
Then I'm weak and struggling, and I don't
and
have,
that
all,
I don't
the
have all the
answers.
Yeah, and yeah, and I'm on a journey just like you, and maybe together we can learn a few things and encourage each other. But I see a progression here in some ways of how this is unfolding in his life. You know, the idea that you are free, and then in that freedom, you can surrender. You don't have to be the guy that has all the answers. You don't have to be the one that is in control all the time. And I know I have deep emotional needs that I can bring to the Lord in praise and worship, but that I can also bring into a community of men who will also be able to help me, you know, figure some things out and work through some things. So I almost see like there's an unfolding to what this guy is discovering.
That's good.
In the freedom. And then in all of that, he's saying, I'm enjoying sobriety.
Oh, that's good. We have to keep saying that in the program.
Yeah.
Enjoying sobriety, enjoying this part of the mission, the fun of discovery, of learning. Learning about yourself is fun. You don't always like what you see, but you can change, right?
Well, that's part of that hope piece. You know, if you're willing to look at the things that are flawed and broken and out of place in your life, mm-hmm. if you have that sense of hope here and now, mm-hmm. you can go, well, I can take the next step to see how I could grow in that area. How can I make some changes?
And mostly you get tired of doing the same old thing.
Yeah.
You know, this hope, I think the mission of life is growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what God's plan was, to be a baby and then to be a 10-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old to grow. And so, I mean, I think you're in the essence of what God designed us to be doing when you're learning about self and creation and growing. I mean, that's, you could get excited about that, or you could resist and pout and say, no, I don't want to know. I'm fine. Leave me alone. I'm going to die the same. It's like you're missing life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I kind of think if you stop growing, it's the same as stop living. You know, because if growth is so fundamental to life, then if you're just stuck in a rut, you're sort of dead man walking, you know?
That's good. So he moves from, first I got to connect with men and be honest about this issue. Then I really got to grow better relationships around me. I have to invest in my relationships. I have put people through pain and suffering. I've drug people through the mud with me. I've lied and deceived and hurt. And I'm going to say the hard one here, and I broke trust.
Mm.
It's like, man, when trust is broken, you don't live well in relationships when trust is broken. But I've got to really build my relationships now, which is opposite broken trust.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, this is where, you know, we were talking earlier about a lot of times when you think about sobriety, a lot of people hear that term sobriety and they think about all of the work, all of the, you know, hold the line, don't do this, don't do that. And and it's all this work. And then also there is the pain of looking at the things that have been broken as a result of your secrecy and deception and, you know, like you said, broken trust. But here's the thing. If you're able to recognize those things, if you're able to humble yourself and receive instruction and correction and even rebuke, then out of that place, you can say, I can become a completely different man. I can learn how to relate in new ways. I can do whatever I possibly can to either restore trust. You know, I mean, not all relationships are mended. I mean, relationships involve two people. But this man can change. And that's where I think the hope comes back in, is that even if past relationships can't be mended, he can become a new man and in a sense still enjoy sobriety because he's standing on a different foundation.
Yes. And then he moved to this statement, I have more discipline. I have the ability to be more disciplined. I see more discipline in my life. And, you know, I'm sort of kicked back because several years back, I went on this thought control journey where I was going to manage every thought that I had so no inappropriate thoughts could linger in my mind. And what I found was there's like a new energy that you find. Do you find that true? When you're not wasting time doing dumb things, you got more energy and you can be more disciplined. And
you can be more present. You know, one of the things, we know this to be true. If somebody has developed an addiction of any kind, they are undisciplined. And this doesn't mean that they can't hold down a job or they can't, you know, function in a, you know, materialistic kind of way. But what I'm saying is when it comes to their emotional selves, their relationships, their personal growth, they're totally undisciplined. Because everything gets tunnel visioned around whatever their addictive outlet is.
Right, but they become disciplined in their fantasy world, right?
Different definitions of discipline here, you know. You're right. They're regimented.
Yes, that's what I mean. They have a there's order to their madness, but it's still madness in the end. It's not freedom. We're talking about discipline that gives you freedom, right?
Well, and I actually reverse those. I believe it's freedom that gives you discipline. And what I mean by that is if you look at kind of the unfolding of how this guy was sharing what he was sharing, what did he start with? I'm free.
Yes, yes.
I'm free. Too many times what I see guys do when they're pursuing sobriety and the reason that they can't enjoy sobriety is they place discipline as the end game, meaning it's the beginning and the end and the middle and everything. Yeah. It's all about discipline. You just got to do this, check the boxes. And then what do? You've got guys that are not acting out and they're miserable.
Yes. But I think of religious legalism when you say that. Do the right thing. There's no joy. There's no freedom. There's no grace. But by golly, there's law. Do the law. Do the act.
And that's where I think people get confused about the goodness of discipline. We make it a complete either or proposition. Like either you are disciplined and miserable or you're free and you're not disciplined. It's like, no. I think out of the freedom that you experience the present freedom that you have in Christ, you begin to see the beauty of discipline, that there is a structure and an order. And you like to say what Eldridge has said, there's a way things work.
There is a way. Yeah, that's right. And that's it. And so with freedom, we can act in a more disciplined manner and have more joy, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. Because this guy even said, I go to the gym. I never used to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. It's hard to go to the gym regularly and sweat and work. But I'm having a more ordered life instead of a more chaotic life.
And part of that too is if you think about it, he's probably narrowed down. I love what you said before about how really life is very simple in terms of what we need and what we desire. problem is we get very distracted with all the other things that can pull us in many other directions. But when you really realize, listen, it's about being at peace.
Yes.
And it's about experiencing joy in relationships. If you narrow your focus, guess what? Your discipline can have a lot of margin in your life. Because now you're letting everything that distracts from those fundamentals fall away. And so you can be more at peace because you're not grabbing for everything. You've finally discovered and embraced the fact that you can't have it all. You can't do it all.
Right.
And so there's a simplicity that comes in freedom that I think is incredibly enjoyable.
You know what's interesting is at this point we hear guys in Gateway, you know, after the retreat, they go home with some emotions maybe turned on. And they allow themselves to start feeling their feelings. Mm-hmm. And they might be sad a bit. They might be emotional. They might cry a little bit. We get that feedback after they leave. You know, I've just been quieter than I've been before. I was sort of crying a little bit. I don't cry. I never cry. Well, it's like feeling. I'm starting to feel again because if you're a master of fantasy, you're probably a midget at managing emotions, mm-hmm. right? Because you've overgrown escaping, and now you have to slow it down. What you talked about earlier, be present, feel pain when pain is involved in the moment, and then get up and live.
Mm-hmm. I think of it like this. Imagine this man, for however long he's been bound up in his sin and selfishness and impurity and all that, as essentially living in a dark cell. And then the freedom now is the door flying open, and he recognizes, I'm not free. I'm now, all this light is cascading in. Mm. And in some ways, if you think about it, if you've been in pitch black in darkness, and then if somebody immediately shines the sun in your face, there's a lot of squinting. It's kind of a waking up that has to happen. It takes a little bit of time. And I think that's what you're seeing here emotionally is their emotions have been in the dark. They've been trapped. And now the light is pouring in. And it's not like there's an immediate sense of, oh, I know what it is to live in the light. It's like, I'm squinting. I'm waking up.
This guy was saying, I'm going to the gym. I'm buying new clothes. I'm cleaning my car now. It used to be a pit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm putting my clothes away. I'm doing stuff my wife's been mad at me for years for leaving things laying around. And it's like I'm practicing discipline. It's showing up in my life. I'm feeling life, and I'm putting more order in my life because I'm tired of the way I've been living. And I'm so ready for a change. And I'm enjoying this walk of sobriety. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying sobriety.
Well, and I love the fact that even discipline, even these things that, you know, might have been seen before as this, you know, drudgery, these chores, there can even be joy in those. Because here's what I've experienced. When being free in the sense that I'm no longer bound by my lusts, I'm not bound by the temptations around me, it's really, everything can be enjoyable, even washing your car.
Yes, that's true.
It's like the Bible says, to him who's pure, all things are pure. Mm. There's this sense of like, hey, when you're clean on the inside, you can enjoy life. You don't have to, there's not a drudgery to it. So what's a final comment that you would have for our listeners here as we need to wrap up?
Well, I think he said, I've got a plan now, and it's my battle plan, and it includes prayer and worship and making sure I connect with God regularly, then connect with my brothers, and then connect with my spouse. Mm-hmm. And he said, I used to try to recover, and I did it 3 or 4 times, but I was never free.
Mm. Yeah, so listeners, we hope this has been encouraging, at least letting you know that sobriety is not drudgery. To pursue purity, to pursue a life of integrity, there is joy. Now, certainly there is hard work to it because we've got to look at places in our own lives that are difficult and painful and embarrassing. But the fact of the matter is that God already knows everything about you, and he loves you, he embraces you, and there's nothing that you can do to change his affection for you. So if you'd like more help on your journey and what it is to maybe enjoy sobriety even more, please contact us so that we can help you move ahead in your journey. And we're glad you've been with us this week, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.